The voice of one crying the wilderness. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. The voice of one crying the wilderness. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. The voice of one crying.
Let's pray for a moment. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to learn your words. We thank you for light and direction and illumination. Thank you for your spirit of truth. Thank you for grace. Thank you for truth. Thank you in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. I ask us to sing the memory verse two more times. The first one. Let the word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom.
Teaching and admonishing one another.
Whatsoever you do in word or deed,
do all
in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father above Him. Colossians 3:16-17.
Now, if you don't know it, learn it. Sing.
And spiritual songs. Grace in your heart.
One more time.
Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace to your heart to the Lord. And whatsoever
now, I'd like you to say it. Now, what does that scripture tell us? It tells us that the word of God should dwell in us richly. You know what it means for something to dwell in someone richly? It means there should be a lot of it. Should be a lot. Abundantly. That's the meaning of the word. Excessively. In significant amount. Not a little. No. A lot. Now, the enemy knows our enemy, the devil, knows that if we have a little of God's word in us, we will not be able to overcome him. The Lord Jesus took on Satan. We see that very clearly. And we saw that every time he took him on, he said, "It is written." The enemy has been able to overcome us over and over again because of our ignorance. Thus, the scriptures provide that my people perish through lack of knowledge, through ignorance. Ignorance will result in perishing. Ignorance will result in perishing. God doesn't want us to perish. God wants us to be okay. He wants us to. He wants us to overcome. He wants us to win. But the devil wants us defeated. And he knows the easiest way to do that is to have us ignorant. Many do not know the power of ignorance. Ignorance is exceedingly dangerous. Ignorance is fatal. You know, one of those days, the other week, I was telling you about someone posted it on the hall thereafter. I was glad about how people, you know, someone has a convulsion or is poisoned, and then they give them oil to drink. And you might say, but isn't that what's expected? That's folk wisdom. Not folk wisdom, that's a fable. It only worsened the situation, ends up killing the person. And there are many such things, where our ignorance is fatal, results in death. It's not neutral, it's not slight, it's not, of no real consequence. Ignorance is fatal. In very many instances, we must go out of our ways not to be ignorant. We must ardently seek knowledge and understand. Can you give me Proverbs chapter 24, verse 5 and 6? I want in the HCSB. Let's sing it once. A wise man is strong, and a man of knowledge increases strength. Now, HCSB translation. Let's see what the Bible says. Another rendition of that thought. A wise warrior is better than a strong one, and a man of knowledge than one of strength. For you should wage war with sound guidance. Victory comes with many counselors. So, the knowledge. Now, this doesn't mean, when he says a wise warrior in the HCSB, it sounds a bit different from New King James Version. The point being made is that there's a strong warrior and there's a person of strength, but that even better than that is a wise warrior. If you've ever watched any movie about war, ancient warfare, even modern warfare, but especially ancient warfare, you don't necessarily win because you're really strong. Your soldiers are really strong. You may have seen, I can't remember any, I'm just thinking generally of a movie where there are all these weak people and they set traps. I saw something about, I think it's a real life story, but they go to a place, they know their land and the English are coming to attack them. And they go to a place where there are bogs, B-O-G-S, you know, swampy areas. And they stand there, and this one start galloping down with their horses. They don't know everything in front of them is like marsh. And they come there and they get sunk inside that thing. See, what they are, they were not strong compared to the army of the opposing force, which was all geared up, but they were wise, and they defeated them. That's actually how one of the things that led to Scotland getting free from England. That's the difference. That's the difference between wisdom and strength. Strength is all, Kung Fu. The idea behind karate it's wisdom above strength. I mean, you're all here, a big hawk of a being. And the guy knows where to punch you and gives you one here. And there you have this hulking guy lying down on the ground. And this diminutive... Okay, I hear you guys don't like English. Camaraderie. Should we find, if you're speaking, camaraderie? Sorry, Akwabi. You want to write it down? Okay. Kama. Raderi. Don't be laughing while you're illiterate. Is it ignorance I'm talking about? Write C-A-M-A-R-A. Do you guys have a dictionary there? Kama. Raderi. You don't have a dictionary. Why? Comradeship. Friendliness. It's hard to pronounce. I'm even me all these years. Feel like saying Kalamadiri. Kamaradiri. Let's say R-I-E. Okay, so what knowledge does for you is that it enables you to win wars. Knowledge enables you to win wars. Knowledge enables you to win battles. Knowledge makes you strong. That's what knowledge does for you. It makes you strong. It makes you stronger than strong people. Okay? Knowledge makes you stronger than the strong. It enables you. So the more knowledge we have, the more capable we become. The more knowledge we have, the more capable you become. You become more capable than strong people, even. Now, if you've taken these words to heart, if you understand that you wage war with sound guidance, with knowledge, with wisdom, with wars are not fought by, I have money, don't worry, I have money. You can have money and die with money, but you can have wisdom and you'll win everything. It's really important that we understand the importance. One area the devil has wrought, I think it's immeasurable damage. In the age to come, when we will be able to access the database of statistics concerning the actions of man. Or maybe not in the age to come, maybe one of us will go and find, gain access to the database of heaven and ask, please, can I see the consequences of our wrong doctrines, the things we believe that are not so? Maybe the Lord will show us. You know, we are always thinking, quest sera, sera, it said, what will be. It's not true. What will not be. What's going to be is going to be. Not true. Don't believe it. Don't believe it. Did you sing that as a child?
Yes.
Quest sera, sera. It's not true. It's a dangerous belief. That means you can't change anything. It's all fated. Can't do anything about it. Take it as it is. If it is so. In fact, even the people that say don't believe it. In the long run, there are things that have been sovereignly enacted. In the long run, there are things that have been ordained by God. And we teach about sovereignty. You have seen from scripture that there are things God has ordained to be so. When the appointed time came, when the fullness of time came, Christ was born, etc. That was sovereignly enacted. That was ordained. You couldn't change it. You couldn't change it. It was fixed. That he was to die was fixed. But just to give you an idea of how much human beings can influence some things, look at the fact that when the Lord Jesus, who came to earth to die, when the time came, he went and asked God, can this cup pass by? That should give you an idea of, I mean, for this reason, you came to the world. How are you having a discussion at all with the Father about it? And I'm saying, who knew the Father more than the Son? No one. The one who came out of the Father must know more than anyone else about the Father. He came out of the bosom of the Father. He knows the mind of the Father. He understands the Father God. Based on that understanding, he goes to the Father and says, Father, if this cup can pass me by, I wouldn't mind it. This crucifixion, this experience, not the crucifixion per se. Many people had been crucified in the past. Jesus could take that. Even though I've shown you, they are not normally flogged to, their skin is not peeled first before they are crucified. They are typically just crucified. The scourging can kill you. The scourging, the peeling, I mean, nearly 39 lashes with that very horrible thing they used. Like a whip with bone and sharp objects, metal objects in it. And they lash you with it, it rips off skin. You can see bones and stuff. It's really terrible. And it has multiple ends. I'm not sure. I think it's called a flagellum or something. It's really bad, you know, from which you have flagellation. And they would whip you. 39 of that. That many people would die from it, the bleeding. Jesus underwent that because Pilate wanted to flog him and free him. But when he finished flogging him, the Jews said, no, crucify him. And he said, what for? I've done this. I've punished him already. And he said, no. And Jesus carried a cross with that, having lost that amount of blood. So, yes, maybe it was a unique crucifixion where they didn't just take you straight and crucify you. But I don't think that was the big deal. The big deal was that he took on the sins of the whole world upon himself too, which is really terrible. I mean, you commit one or two sins, you feel so guilty. Commit a few, you feel so bad. Then they impose everybody's sin in the world on your body. You feel it. The terrible thing. And he went through things that weren't so cool. And so he's asking the Father, can it pass? Obviously, the Father says, no. As shown in the following, the events that followed. I want us to know that we can learn from Jesus that things can continue a certain way except someone does something about it. It's a very real responsibility that you can influence things with God. Now, in this congregation, we have emphasized so much the importance of following God, going with Him. Don't come with your opinions. Don't make all sorts of unnecessary demands, which is very common with most of God's people. They make every kind of demand. They ask for anything and everything. Here, I've striven to teach us from Scripture that you should want things in line with what God wants for you. You shouldn't want any and everything, or you might have things that will destroy you eventually. You might acquire things that are not pleasing to God. You might get things that will become your undoing. And I'm not taking back that at all. I'm not regarding earlier things I've said. Because at the same time, we've seen that we have authority to find out the mind of God, then ask in line with it. Find out His mind. Ask in line with it. Finding out His mind is what Jesus was saying when He said, but not my will, but yours. You heard Him say that. He said, can this cup pass? And then He said, not my will, but yours. Because, you know, Jesus had said, whatsoever the Son asks, the Father does it for Him. Yes? Always. He said, the Father hears me always. But He kept qualifying it, which is a safe way to pray. Oh God, I want this, but not my will. there are things, especially prayers of commitment, where you do not qualify that it's His will that you want. If you don't qualify it, you might get what you want. You might get what you asked for. You might get it. If you get what you want, it might destroy you. There are things you get that will destroy you. So many people have been destroyed by what they wanted. They asked for it, they got it. I must marry that man. And they got the man. And the man killed them. I don't mean spiritually. He killed them physically. He killed them and they died. That man is the one they wanted. That one that killed them. People have said, if it's not this girl, I'll die. They got the girl and they died. They committed suicide. They drank themselves into an early grave. The misery that accompanied the lady drove them to suicide by installment. So we can't just, you can't just do anything you like. I want, I insist, I must read this course. I must walk in this place. I must, you know, tell you that story about the man had a job, company. Then they promoted him. Everybody wants promotion, right? And when they promoted him to the executive level, they invited him for a meeting. And there they were in a meeting. I don't know if it's a real life story. It sounded like, but I'm open to it being fiction. Even if it's fiction, many such things have happened. And in the meeting, he's seeing fellow MDs, managers, all that. And they start doing funny things. I don't know what they are wearing. Strange stuff. And then they start passing a bowl with blood. And everybody drinking from it. A big promotion. Hey, this guy was born again. He's a brain toast. The bowl caught fire. Fire erupted in the bowl. Place scattered. In the ensuing pandemonium, as people ran, I think he ran out of the company. That is he. I don't think he came back the next day. I think he sacked himself straight. But I'm sure he was praying for promotion. It's not everything you want that is good. Some people want to live in China. Now you laugh. If I said this 2 months ago, you wouldn't be laughing. You'd be saying, of course. Of course. Of course. See, people. I think Titi was telling us that she has classmates in China. You too. I have people. Successful. Have you communicated with any of them? They want to come back. Mm-hmm. But you're desperate to go. What's the numbers now? 27,000. 37. It was 29 yesterday. Okay, fine. So, jumping, leaping, leaps and bounds. It's jumping. Suddenly, no one wants to be in China. Before now, everyone's desperate to be. I'm not saying it's wrong to be. God might want you there. I'm just saying that everything you use, your head, your mind, your heart, your own thoughts. Every time human beings insist on their will, because of our limited knowledge, it is better we allowed the Lord to direct. The Bible says in Psalm 37, commit thy way unto the Lord and he will direct your paths. What you do, if you're wise, is that you say, Father, I would want to do this, as James repeats, when it means, says, by the grace of God, if God wills, I will do this. The whole attitude is that, I want this, but your will, and it's not the fake one. There's a way you say, your will, and you don't mean your will at all. You're just stamping it. They say, as you say, by God's grace, so. But you go on to push with all your might to achieve what you want. One of the ways you should know sometimes God doesn't want something is if you push and he seems to push back and you insist, or you, of course, you use a wrong method to achieve it. That one goes without saying. Because if it's God that's helping you do it, he wouldn't tell you to lie, to cheat, to steal, to achieve it. The moment you have to do any of that, it's likely not God's will for you. Even if it was going to God, even if it was God's will before, now that you brought the devil into it by committing crimes, by obeying Satan, you have now made it the devil's plan. You've taken a thing that could have been from God and submitted it to the devil. And now Satan will always have a hand in that matter. Because on your way there, you took a free ride from him. It's best you got there through God's leading. If it's really God, he'll give it to you. That's one of the ways I know how God leads me. If it's really God, he'll give it to you. If I have to go to Satan to get some help, then it's enough for me to know. It's likely not really God. Do you understand this? So ask for God's will. Commit the plans to God. As Proverbs 16 says, the preparation of the heart in man, the answer of the tongue comes from the Lord. Let God be the one to walk it out. Give me Proverbs 16 verse 1 to 3. Let God walk it out. The reflections of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All a man's ways seem right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the motives. God is checking your real motivation. You might be saying, I want to help my family. And God is, don't worry, you can stay in Nigeria and help your family. Don't worry, I can work it out. People have been in Nigeria helping their families. You don't know? Help does not come from abroad. It comes from above, they say. So, verse 3, commit your activities to the Lord and your plans will be achieved. The question is, what's your plan? Your plan is, I go to China, I do business. God says, no, that's not your plan. Your plan is to have enough money to care for your family, right? Now, commit your activities, that's your day-to-day activities, and that plan to support your family will be achieved. Did you hear what I just said? Did I lose you? If you commit your activities, this is not your plan. This is your activities, what you're doing at different times. Commit that into the Lord. Activity 1 plus activity 2 plus 3 plus 4 plus 5 plus 6 plus 7. You're going to find yourself at the end in the plan you desire to achieve. But what people do is they have a plan. They commit the plan. Then they personalize their activities. They do what they like. They carry out any activities from the devil, from men, from God. Once in a while, you mix. You're not going to arrive at that plan. The plan is not the activity. The plan is not. What's the plan? The plan is, I want to finish university successfully without happenstance, without disasters and bad stuff happening to me. That's a plan. You want to achieve that plan? Commit your activities. First semester year one into God's hands. What you do when you wake up in the morning, who your friends are, where you go, who you hang out with. Commit. Let those submits to God continuously. When you look back 4 or 5 years later, you would have achieved the plan to finish university uneventfully. But if you ignore, like most do, you ignore God in the activities while hoping that the plan will be fulfilled, it is more likely that the plan will fail because the activities didn't belong to God. Have you understood this? Do you understand me? Remember, if you don't understand, say no. Don't say yes. Okay. Do you understand what I just said? I was trying to listen if I'll hear a no. The cowards are talking. I'll abuse you small. Don't be cowardly. When you come here, feel free. That's why I didn't say praise the Lord at the end. I said, do you understand? You know the difference. Praise the Lord means whether I like it, you don't like it, praise the Lord. I've said my own. Me, I don't say that. Me, I'm having a conversation. Do you understand? Means you now say yes or you say no. All right. So, all right, let's catch up with the slow. for wasting my time. I'll give one more example. You want to be very close to God. That's your plan. It's not. It sounds too spiritual. Say? I already used it now. They couldn't follow. Leave the thing. Marriage. You want a happy marriage. This one, everybody understands. You want a happy marriage. You want a happy home. That is the plan. What do you do? What you should do is commit your daily activities. Not your plan. Here you are, kissing someone that you're not married to. Here you are, talking on the phone nonstop. You're talking to four different people, hoping that one of them might be the one. You're doing all sorts of stunts. You're compromising every standard, if you have any. You're doing all these things. Why? Because I'm planning to identify the correct one and be married to, and we will be happy, whether you're a male or a female, forever. That's the plan. The problem is that your activities are wrong. Therefore, that your plan will not be achieved. Because your activities, the tiny aspects, that get to the fulfillment of the plan are not committed to God. Commit. What does God say about company, the kind of friends you keep? Take that, commit it to God. Okay, my friends. And God says, no, you can't have this one and that one. That can't be your friend. You're my child. You want to have a happy marriage, okay? And marriage came from God. It's not just for Christians, it's for non-Christians, for everybody. Even everybody should worship God. We are in a fallen state. But you want a happy marriage. You have to work on yourself. And he begins to show you things to do. Your daily activity. You can't just stand up one day and become this very patient person, or be this very kind person, or this very gentle person, or this very courteous one, or this very kindly one. You can't. You have to, as you commit your daily activities. So let's say you're in a community of people. You're in a room with roommates. And you're willing to share. Say, God, what should I do with this? My roommates that are always borrowing my things. God says, endure it or buy a second item that they are always borrowing. Tell them, hey, people, if you want to use, please use this orange one. Okay, the yellow one is mine. Don't do orange and yellow. Some people's primary education was faulty. So, say blue. The orange one is for everyone. The blue one is mine. Because that's the kind of thing, when you marry, that may come up. It's better you start practicing. It's better you began. It's better you began something. But if you don't commit your daily activity, please, nobody. Or you hear from me. And you are like that in different ways. You say, no one should try me, you know. Your daily activities are not committed to the Lord. By the time you may end up getting married, what have you been sowing? What have you been planting? Impatience, lack of kindness, and many other such things. Okay? It is time to reap. You're in a marriage. What kind of person do you think you would have attracted to you? It may have been the kind of person that is like you, similar to you. Or remember, you're looking for a nice gentleman. So you may pretend, like many people do, act very smooth, very nice, very calm, you know. And then you marry. Remember, you wanted a happy home. But you see, you're very impatient. You bark at people. You act, so let's pretend you're a female. You act certain ways. And here you are married to this nice, gentle male. And he's all gentle. And you're telling people, ah, my husband is very calm. I know me, I'm somehow, but don't worry. And your husband, and this, I'm telling you things that happen a lot. And one day you're in one of those rooms. Why do you move this thing? Then suddenly you hear it. It's light. You see it. You hear it. You know, it's not George Lucas, it's industrial light and magic. It's, you see colors. And then there was a loud sound accompanying it, you know, and you're wondering, what's that? Has there been a meteor strike outside? Actually, it's not a meteor strike. It's your husband's palm. It landed on your face. One eye. It was, now God forbid there's any man like that. But we've heard rumors that they are. And your vision of a happy marriage is gone. Why? You didn't commit your daily activities over the years to God. Here you are. You would have changed. You wouldn't have this situation. But you did not undergo change. You instigated, you poked till the man erupted. Or worse, because some people think that's the worst. That's not the worst. The worst is that the man walks in, packs some things, puts in a bag, does like this, and walks out the door. You're like, where are you going to? And he's not talking to you. Where are you going to? And he's gone. You don't know where he is. 2 weeks later, again, God forbid any Christian ever does a thing like that. But what if that happens? You had a plan to have a happy marriage. Now you're not having a happy marriage. He comes up by 11:30 at night, 12, whenever he likes. You know, like I've told you, very many problematic marriages are caused by women. I'm not joking. My message is pro-women. The whole message. I'm here to support women, to tell you what God really says. But well, let's look at the other side first. Then we go. Many problematic marriages are due to the woman. Directly or indirectly. They can push. Till a man changes what he is not, he becomes. You know, a friend of mine was telling me about a friend. He used to bathe the children in the morning. He would bathe them, get them ready for school. And one day the wife was complaining, talking, saying all sorts of things. You know, I don't even know what you're doing. You know all these terrible men that don't talk. You know, again, some of you think the worst men are the ones that talk. It's the opposite. The ones that don't talk and can be the people that don't talk, you should know by now. And he got up, washed his hands, and went and sat down and picked up a newspaper. That's the last time he ever taught the children. He just ended it. That was the end. The next day, the day following, the week following, The woman understood that the man is not playing. He didn't do anything. He didn't bait them. He didn't go near them. Everything was on her head now. And like some men have their hearts. Some, I'm not saying all, but there are men, all sorts of strange men. But it's not strange. It's actually how men are. Men have hearts more than women. You know that? You didn't. You thought women have hearts more than men. How many women have murdered someone in this world compared to how many men? For everything a woman has done, 100,000 men have done it. A woman might have stabbed a man. Or anybody. Kill someone. A woman might have had the heart. 100,000 men have slit people's throats without just and gone on. Their own is harder. Their own is stronger. It's how God made it. It's very easy to know. A man can spank his child. Tie a child upside down. Dear God. A woman, you don't stop that thing. Even if the child is this size. It's very easy to know. Because men, when God was sharing male, female, he put his more severe side in the males. Now you might see the opposite. Your father might be the more gentle one and all that. But that's only in a sense too. Because you don't know if push comes to shove. You'll be shocked at what your father can do that your mother can't even think of. That she makes more noise does not mean anything. I'm telling you. That's a fact. So, many women have pushed their husbands till they cracked. There are many women who, the reason the man sleeps everywhere or had left the house or kicked out, just that because of that hardness of heart, many times the children suffer. But if they don't have the fear of God, many of them can do inconceivable things. Can do terrible things. Now they will answer to God for what they did, but still, why would the woman want to be the one that pushed her husband into another kind of thing? You go sit there. why would you want to be the person that pushed your husband to change? You don't want people to change. But many times, once they cross a line, that thing about crossing the line, then you push them, and they are trying, I don't want to cross this line. But many times, when people cross that line, say, okay, today I've beaten you. You might find out they are beating you day after. But they had sworn, I will never touch. I used to see my father beat my mother, but I never touch my wife. That was the plan. But you push, and it, you know, you hit the door, you go, you break something, punch the wall. Yeah. Then one day he punched you. Now he has crossed the line. And you might find, and he saw the effect. You cried and shouted and shut up. Day after, eh. And that, I repeat, that's how many men became the monsters. On Christian men, many others like that. That's how they became the monsters. That they became. Only God sees a lot of those things. But I know I taught the girls here years ago, and many of them began to observe. Some of them, how many of you went and talked to your fathers? How many of you went and learned more? Yeah. Thank you. You can put down your hands. I haven't asked personally, but it's a fact. I know Grace mentioned it a little as she just shared. You might think, is this my father? Is when you'll be joining? Why? Because your mother will talk to you 2,000 times before your father says something once. Your mother is the one you're around. She's telling the stories about how this happened. Can you imagine? So all is just like things, national events and all that. You hear one side constantly. But for a man, he's even too embarrassed about it that he can't have his house under control. So he doesn't talk about it. He doesn't give his opinion. He doesn't express his thoughts. He just keeps quiet. So you presume he must be guilty. Till one day you hear one story like this. Some years later. Sometimes you never hear till they die. with many men. I mean, even unbeliever men. I'm referring to unbelievers. Some, when they are old, their children are older, the child is 40-something years old, then you hear the father say, come, son, you know, your mother and I have not, and they start saying things. You're like, what? But for 40 years, you presume this man, I hate this man. And he tells you a story. And you find out, and people have found out all sorts of things. Some, that their mother was unfaithful, sleeping around. Some find out that their mother was... They find out things that your ears want to pop. Like, what? She did that? But all these years, the man knew you were accusing him, but he didn't say anything because men, without their hearts, they have the ability to be like that. Find out that she's the one that used to harass me. You're so poor. I don't know why I married a wretched man like you. Till he went and entered criminality of some sort. Said, I used to fear God. I was of so-and-so stock spiritually. And I was contented. But your mother, who knew how things were with me before she married me, I didn't deceive her. Made so much noise, maybe because of her friends she listened to. And she pushed me till I started... Well, inflating things, use my position as a public servant to do this and do that. Till I came to the place, I looked at it, and I realized, that's why I stopped going to church 30 years ago. Because my conscience bugged me so much. I had known better, and I felt, well, maybe I've damned myself. And I stayed back, started sitting out, started drinking, went back to my former life before I'd become a Christian. And all of that. And yes, you came to meet money, wealth, all that. But it's your mother that pushed me to it. That your mother that shouts and says, why don't you go to church? That goes to church with all of you. That your mother. That one that seems spiritual, godly. She pushed me into juju. This has happened to so many people. Things are not always how they appear. Things are not necessarily how they appear. God wants us to do our best. But remember, I'm talking about activities. It's your day-to-day activity that results in a plan being fulfilled. It is not that you stand up. What people, I'm sure Nigerians will believe, is prayer that gets your plans achieved. Is it not? Pray, it will be achieved. No. Commit your activities to the Lord. Then it will be achieved. Your activity is action. Prayer might be one of the actions. But your behavior, your speech, your actions, what did you do when he pushed your book on the ground? Those actions. I want to be at peace with everyone in this room. I want to be in a very, I want everybody in my new room to like me. I used to always have quarrels in the former one. Good plan. Your activities will bring that plan about. If you don't carry out the necessary activity of being nice, of being generous, of being patient, you come and they're sitting, someone is sitting on your bed, and your response is, what do you mean? What do you mean? Please stand up, please, please, please. Roommate, please, please, I don't want anyone in my, please, no one should sit on my bed. Thank you. And it's not as if I'm angry, but no one should. Wow. Get ready to have a sweet room life. That year, it will be awesome for you. You might as well get a room in another room. All this silence from the girls. Are all of you like this? Why are you so silent? You look like, uh-oh. You have to be nicer than that. She sat on your bed. So therefore, he only sat on it. What if she spat on it? What would he do? You have to survive. There are women that are more interested in how their bed is than their husband lying down on it. How do you think they became like that? Okay, no, there's no woman like that, right? They are all sorts of fantastic creatures. How did they become like that? Years of activity in a certain way. Till you became something else. You don't even know how you get so meticulous. No. You can't come to your There was someone I know used to like me. I mean, I'm sorry, but the person liked me, I know. But give me that pen. And I'm eating one day. The person said, no, you can't use a spoon that this. Okay. That's the spoon you use to scoop it. You can't, because spit has touched it. You can't put it back into the main sauce. You know, you have to get another spoon. Yes, fine, I agree. It's not a pot, it's a cooler. The food is mine. Food in this cooler is mine. The food in the plate is mine. You want to join me or something? I don't know. I can't remember if she joined, but it has to be another spoon. So this one won't go sour. To go sour in 1 or 2 hours? Again, I'm not saying she's wrong. I'm just saying that when I went like, okay, I've cleaned the spoon now, and tried, she took the spoon from my hand. I thought, you won't believe the kinds of things in our minds. I'm just saying. My mind, I went like, eh? Mm-hmm. Okay. My future shall not be like this. It shall not happen. Physical collecting. You just smile and go and get a spoon, but in your mind, pam pam. That's not a bright future. It'll be full of harassment. And someone might say, please stand up, let me arrange the bed. Now my wife will say, please stand up, you know, let her push. Now, and I'll sit up, I'll raise myself. Nice, he does it nicely. But maybe that one say, stand up. Stand up! I am not ready. I want someone kneeing me. Rolling you off the bed. Boom. Someone will be saying, let someone stand up. Let them arrange. You don't know you're speaking a language I don't understand. First time I went to Ariaria Market. 1996, 1997, was shopping to start university. Went to my mom and sisters. Behind me, someone was going, Uzo, 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 Uzo. Do I know what Uzo is? He almost hit me. I went like, ah. As he passed, he went, person they talk, Uzo, person they talk. That's my plan. You know, when you're speaking a language someone does not understand, you don't know what they may do to you. So women sometimes speak a language that men don't speak. Speaking a language, thank God. And we are trying to understand it. What does she want? You've heard the story. I'll tell it again. Because you still laugh again. They said a man was walking down a beach. He was on a seminar from his office and thinking, I miss my wife. I wish I could go home now. But this was the ocean. He flew in from the other side. And he hears a voice from heaven. Ask for anything and I'll do it for you. It appears to be the voice of God. And he goes, could you make a road across the sea straight home so I could just drive home quickly and go and see my family? The voice went, are you sure that's what you really want? And the man said, it's true, let me not waste the opportunity. And he thought, say, yeah. God, could you tell me what it is that a woman really wants? There was silence in heaven. And then the voice came back. Do you want 2-lane or 4-lane? I'm waiting for those. I haven't gotten it yet. You haven't gotten it yet. God was asking him, should I, what kind of road do you want? I'll build the road instead. Even me, I can't answer the question. Just two lane or four lane road, you know. You remember, he asked for a road first before he asked what women really want in this world. So the silence was God thinking, take the other choice. Oh yeah, that road. What size? Now I know it's not reality. Okay? It's not reality. But yeah, it can be tough. Even women, no. See that sister said she went to him and suddenly wanted to be classy. In our language, they say you were sitting down, then you just stand up. Like things are. So how can I just be peaceful? Like, have you never wondered why Eve, a garden full of every food in this world, was she in her corner when Satan started talking to her? Where do you go to that tree? See trees, see fruit, pineapple, popo, mango. Have you seen white fruit? There are plenty. Oriental ones, there are so many fruits in this world. But this one. You know, I like tasting things. I like trying out new designs. New. Here we are, killing ourselves. Coronavirus. Because someone's eating habit and not managed properly. God help us. He's helping us. And one of the main ways he's helping us, I go back to my original point. I never departed from it. Is the devil has made us ignorant. Even because of some of these problems that have been instigated by the female folk. Well, the men have instigated far more problems. So what? People have accused females, have been ignorant about the things that concern females. After Adam and Eve got into the issue they had. Give me the Genesis chapter 1, when he created them. He created them and gave them dominion over everything. This was the original plan. And there was a loss of that. And what has been the end result? This terrible situation where you have women not being able to serve in ministry in so many ways. Now, you may have grown up in a church where they can. But you have to know, what percentage are you? 5% of the whole world? The majority of women cannot operate in spiritual ministry because of the beliefs. Sincere people have believed it. People like me who believe that scripture is final. Not feelings, not opinions of men, not what anyone thinks. I don't care what everyone does. I don't care if we are in the 21st century. If God said something, I believe you should do it. I believe God knows more than you. I believe God is wiser than you. You do not have a right to adjust it based on what modern society expects of you. So I am fully for God. I have always been. As long as I believe that the Bible said that women shouldn't do this and that, I would speak against it. Just like as far as I believe that God said women should cover their hair with something else, you know, external, a veil. I would preach it, not as a preacher. Now, when I say preacher, I'm talking about 20-something years ago. I would share, if I see a sister that loves the Lord, I remember walking back from Upanisien Lane, where we used a church was, where I worshipped as a student. Walking back, and there's this sister, her family stayed in Lagos. She was schooling here. You know, and we are talking, and she seems to love the Lord. So we're in the same choir. I was talking with her about why she should cover her head, showing her from the Bible. I've always believed in do what the scripture says, and I'll never change my thinking. And you know, I preach this every day, all the time, that scriptures are given for teaching, doctrine, for correction, for rebuke, for instruction. It's not your feelings. Ah, we are modern. Stuff your modern somewhere. You do not disobey God in the name of modernity. So as long as my interpretation of that Bible verse was that, I taught it. I shared it. When I say taught, I wasn't pastoring, but I would share it when I had the opportunity with sisters. In that church, they didn't mind, women didn't cover their hair, but I was sharing it with this sister. Tell her, no, well, this and that and this and that. Followed her all the way. I was staying in M2, it must have been, but she was staying the other 3A or one of those misnumbered prefab hostels. And I remember we got to our room, I was still talking, opening the Bible, all that. She was listening. She was a quiet person. She was listening. No. I didn't see her change, but she listened. And that was it. That has always been my belief. Until with time, I got to understand better. I got to see the Bible more clearly. I got to, because we are growing in knowledge and understanding, we should. And I realized that, no, the Bible does not demand that you put something on your head. And you've heard me teach on this. I said, even if it does demand, it demands it for married women. So, even if it does, says because of, as a sign of authority over her head. So after that, I said that the married women. So what? It definitely won't apply to many women if that was the case. Anyways, but I don't even believe it because he said your hair is given for a covering. I'm not teaching on that now. I've talked on it. You want to hear it, go and get, we have the audio messages. You can ask for it and hear it in detail. So I know that many people are very sincere. Real, when I say sincere, I mean they are as sincere as I am, maybe even more sincere in knowing the truth. Sincere about knowing the truth. But interpretation. See, so for the sincere people, what happens is it's interpretations of scripture or misinterpretations of scripture that result in the errors. It's misinterpretation of scriptures that result in error. Whenever there's a misinterpretation, it makes people do things. And that's what it is. It's ignorance. It's sincere. Now, there's sincere ignorance. There's willful ignorance. The Bible tells you about those that are willfully ignorant, where you don't want to know the truth. So those are the people that say, don't tell me. Don't tell me anything. Now, those ones will be punished. The Bible is very clear. You'll be punished for being willfully ignorant. You have access to upgraded knowledge, updated knowledge, and you refuse to hear it. You can't hide behind ignorance. You refused to know the real situation. Okay? Say, let me tell you, before you open that box, let me tell you. Say, leave me alone, don't tell me anything. Say, wait, don't open that box yet. Say, you need to know something before you open the box. It's a... And you open it, and a snake jumps out. You can't say, but I didn't know there was a snake. You can never say that. Never. Whatever happened, you deserve. But if you had no idea, and you went and opened the box... So, there's two kinds of ignorance. Willful ignorance and purposeful ignorance. Just ignorance. Sincere ignorance. God says that, the scripture says that God winked. The days of ignorance, God winked at. He overlooked, kind of. But when we come to know the truth, we know there's something different from what we've believed. We have to tell it. Now, for years, I've promised that I'll share about female ministry in detail. I've talked about it. I mean, you come to this congregation and most of our leaders are female, all that. Meanwhile, there are people and rules in many churches that say no matter what, even if a woman does anything else, a woman can never be in the leadership and all that. It's just that for people like us, even before we understood more from the Bible, and I knew these things I'm going to share today, as far, I knew this, I think it must have been around 1998 or 1999. It's a long time. I read a piece of material, part of which is in here, which, there was an error, there's a word that was translated in the Bible a certain way, which almost one cannot argue around it till you find out that that's not what the word means. Suddenly. And that's how it is in many other aspects where people make mistakes. It's human beings and translated. The Bible was not written in English. No. Most people don't know that. The Bible was not written. Jesus didn't speak English. Neither did Paul or Peter, any of those people. They spoke Greek. They spoke Aramaic. They spoke Hebrew. Scriptures were given in Hebrew. Moses was speaking Hebrew. Daniel was speaking Aramaic and Chaldee languages. You know, Jesus, the Jews of Jesus' time, they had come back from Babylon. Many of us don't think about it, but it's likely that Jesus spoke Greek. Greek cities were all around them. Rome ruled the world, and the language of Rome was Greek. So they spoke the Greek language. Rome also spoke Latin, but Greek language was the norm. The time of Jesus, Paul, everywhere. You keep hearing the Greeks, the Greeks, the Greeks, the Greeks. Romans are of Greek stock. Look at their gods. This one's called Zeus, the head god. This one's called Jupiter. Just like that. The same pantheon of gods, group of gods and all that. You know, same. So their culture, the things they worship, their practices are all their sculpture. Look at all of that. History holds these things clearly. So if the Lord Jesus was speaking Aramaic, likely Greek, likely Capernaum, all those places, coastal cities in different places, Greeks were doing business. Romans, there was business going on, activity. It was very metropolitan. It wasn't Hebrews in a corner. No, no, no. It was like Lagos. Mixtures, different people. So the context in which a thing was said really matters. When you ignore all the context and you read it as it was written to you now, you ignore the context. When this thing was said, what was meant? Who was being spoken to? What did the people of that time do? If someone comes, a simple example I like to use is, be careful with that pot, Adama. If you break it, you will cook with your hands. And you're wondering, all of us know that pots don't break. Our concept of pot. Till you understand that Adama was being spoken to in 1948. And that the pot is not a tower pot made of aluminum. That it's a clay pot. And she goes to fetch water with it. And it breaks. But it's pot. And you read the Bible and you see words used. And we just think, oh yeah, you paint it with the picture of 2020. No, you must understand that it is more likely better understood by understanding that time. So context is important. The scriptures say, that the woman was made to help the man, Adam. God created Adam. God said, it is not good for you to be alone. If you want to give this a heading, just call it women in ministry. It was never God's plan that man should be alone, and you know this. I'm going to presume some things. I'll just touch on a few quickly. And give you some passages. But the real parts I'll dwell on more. So God says to Adam, it's not good that you be alone. Or God says, he didn't say it to Adam, he says, God said, remember, God had said, let us make image, man in our image. So it's likely speaking to us again. It's not good that the man be alone. I will make him a help that is meet for him. I'll make him someone that can help him. The Bible says that Adam looked. All the animals that were being brought to him, he would name them. They were male and female. So he realized, everything here is two. I am just alone. One of me. But none of them could he take and make his companion. That's the point. He couldn't take any of those animals. Hey, you monkey, orangutan, chimpanzee, call gorilla. You guys should line up here. Let me check you out. None of them were fit to be his mate for him to get his other side, his complementary part. So what does he do? He keeps living. And the God who made all things, including all those animals, said, I will make him a help that qualifies, that is fit for him, that is meet, that is capable. Okay? And he does that. And we know in Genesis chapter 2, go read the whole story. In chapter 1, he had said, he gave them dominion. He didn't say he gave him. Give me. Genesis 1, let me just read this. Verse 24. Then God said, let the earth produce living creatures according to their kinds, livestock, creatures that crawl, and the wildlife of the earth according to their kinds. And it was so. Then God said in verse 26, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. They will rule the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, the animals, all the earth, and the creatures that crawl on the earth. This is man's job. Note it. They, not he. It's not talking about Adam only. It's talking about mankind. When he says man, he's referring to all of mankind. Now, is mankind exclusive of womankind? Is there even anything like womankind? Woman is mankind. The kind made from man, of man. Fish. You could say fish kind. Animal kind. You could say that insect kind. Mankind is all things in the class of man. Nothing else is there except male and female. No monkeys, none of that. None. You're not an animal. You're not some evolved creature. You were made specifically. And animals were made. And man was to rule over them. Fish, birds, animals, and the things that crawl on the earth. Insects, all that class of arachnids and all of that, scorpions, spiders, snakes, whatever it is. If it's an animal, if it's a creeping thing, an insect, God gave man authority over them. So God created man in his own image. Watch. He created him in the image of God. He created them, male and female. This was creation's purpose. He created them, male and female. Created him in the image of God. Created them, male and female. From the onset, it's not like woman was an afterthought. The only thing that people might wonder about is, but we saw only Adam come out. So where was the woman? Where was the female? And the answer is simple. The female was in the body with the male. He had male and female, but he was not separate. She wasn't given a separate body. Okay? He said male and female. Note that. Male and female. And You know, when you read in chapter 2, let me finish 28. God blessed them. You stop at 29. God blessed them. Do you see him saying them now? The male and female. And God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and subdue it. Rule the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, and every creature that crawls on the earth. It's a them, it's obvious. And they were not 5 or 10 people here. It was only Adam and Eve. Okay? God also said, look, I have given you every seed-bearing plant on the surface of the entire earth and every tree whose fruit contains seed. This food will be for you. Now, it's obvious. Everyone will agree that God did a work. Whether chapter 1 was giving you the summary after Eve was created too, formed. Let me distinguish. When the Bible says God created something, it very well likely refers to the, you could say, the spirit of the thing. He creates a thing. But the formation, giving form to a thing, you can create an idea. You have something, it's created, it's imagined, it's done. But to give it shape, because by the time you get to chapter 2, you're hearing God going into specifics. And God formed the man from the dust of the earth. So it could be he was summarizing for you everything that happens in the following passages. It could be so. And he's breaking it down in the successive chapters. Or it could simply be that that's what he did at the beginning. Male, female, put it in this Adam creature. Because from chapter 2, it tells you that all the animals were brought to Adam to see what name he would give them, what identity. And Adam, as you've already heard, does what he did. He gives them. Woman had authority. Nobody can question that womankind, or there's nothing like that I said, but females were given authority over the works of God's hands too. No one can question that. It is obvious that they were given. They were given authority together over the works of God's hands, the fish, the birds, the animals that creep and walk on the earth. If God made it so clear, then why is the impression given that women were an afterthought? They were not. They were in chapter 1 of Genesis. In chapter 2, then 3, of course, we see when trouble comes in, and we see when there was significant reason to start undergoing some shaking. And you find that in chapter 3, verse 16. He said to the woman, because of sin, this is discipline, I will intensify your labor pains. You will bear children in anguish. Your desire will be for your husband, yet he will dominate you. So part of the challenge is that why men dominate women more in this world, specifically husbands and wives, but generally they extended it. You know, I used to tell people, even about this matter of covering of hair, teaching and all that, I would say, when the Bible says, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, that the woman, the head of the woman is the man, it's not referring to every male. It's referring specifically to her husband. That's God's order. The head of the woman, that's the wife, you could better say it, is her husband. Not a man on the street. He is not her head. A man on the street is not the head of every female he comes across. Anywhere. Doesn't make any sense. It's her husband. And by head, it refers to her leader. Where you have a head of an organization, of a church group, of anything. it's the woman that has a husband that it's referring to. If she's not married, she's under her father. We can't take that phrase and say, men, you're in an office and the men dominate you. No, she has her job. You have your job. When she goes home, then her head says, I would like for you to cook so-so and so, or tell them to make this food for me. She should obey because her head told her to do something. But in the office, the man there cannot say, woman, go and buy us. No. Except she's the messenger. Or as a superior in the office. Then you're calling a subordinate. But not as, there are four of us here, we are all on the same level. You, woman, go and do it. You have no rights in this world. It's her husband that would dominate her. And this was part of the situation. But remember, when God made things, the man and the women were to dominate creation. God left this side. But when he said, it's just like childbirth. Women were to have children already. But it was not supposed to be painful. They weren't supposed to be in pain. But because of sin, women began to have pain as a part of the punishment or the discipline that came on mankind. Then childbirth became a thing of anguish, terrible pain for women all around the world. And we know there are exceptions. We know that, you know, God has done miraculous childbirth for people and people barely felt anything. Or that, yes, because the power of sin on the earth, the judgment is being broken off as time goes on. If you understand this, it will help you understand why there's so much oppression of women. Women used to be treated like property. Very often, women were treated like property. If they attack the city and kill, it has its advantages. You have to know that on average, they killed the men and left the women alive. Normal. So women just kept living across cultures. In fact, that's how many of them got these practices, idolatry. You ever wonder how Israel would go into idolatry? It's the women. The women would. They will kill the men. Then they will bring the women and marry them. And then mommy, who grew up worshipping a Canaanite god, will hide and sneak and have one small idol somewhere. And after, she'll tell her fellow woman, come, come. If we pray to this man god, our god used to be very powerful. You can imagine all her sisters now that they killed all the men in their town and packed them. They killed all their men. And you grew up. You grew up a certain way. You didn't grow up in a vacuum. And when God used to give all those warnings, if you find anybody, I'm not saying it's only women, but I'm saying you can just think it. Use your brain. They bring 30,000 women, not a single male from that country. Because Israel won another battle. What do you think? They wiped their brains? No. I've carried those things, put in their clothes as they're being dragged off. Whether they're 10 years old, it doesn't matter. They used to worship a certain god. It's not like now that they say they call them, lay hands on them, baptize them in the Holy Ghost, taught them about Jesus. No. They had brains. And they would bring along those things. And those things would many times result in punishment for the whole land. But women were treated like chattel. like property. They would mistreat them. Now, I know I'm not saying everywhere. You can't say they were big women. They were powerful women. They were all sorts of women. So it's not like every woman was treated like this. It's just that they had an inferior place. Because they barely went out, the men go to war, they see many things, they come back. So their husband was their world and all that. Now, people have gone to extremes, you know, the whole feminist movement. I don't want you to draw any strength for any such evil thing from what I'm saying. And they say, yes, we have to take back. See, you can't disobey God safely. You can't decide to disobey God and say, I am unhappy with the fact of what they used to do to women. Therefore, I am going to be I'm going to be a feminist. I'm going to decide to do this or do that. I'm going to express my displeasure. I'm going to, you know, going to fight men everywhere. No man will talk to me. So where a woman would tell you, I don't like what you're doing, are you upset? Oh. A man says, he say, how dare you talk to me? Because you've set yourself to fight men in this world. I can tell you in advance, you won't win. Why? That verse. Even though they are not your husband, but you want to, you're trying to reverse how things are. And you can only, it might seem you won, but you can't win overall. Not in this age. In fact, there's no winning it ever. Not in this age and time. Because the effects of the curse on earth still linger. Not on women. It wasn't a curse. That was just consequences. Part of it is to remind you so you avoid the events that led to this. What led to this? Eve disregarded God. And her husband. Is it her husband that gave her the fruit to eat? She jumped all sorts of things. She jumped this one, jumped that one. Just jumped everybody's head. And God is like, you know what? You went ahead too much. What does God promise will happen to those who exalt themselves? To be humble. There's nothing as humbling as when a woman is putting to bed. Is there? I know you've not thought about it before, but which other situation is every kind of woman crying, screaming, shrieking? Has anyone been in a hospital where women are put into bed before? You've been outside a labor ward? Only these 8 people? It's okay, it's okay. Whether you go now or not, you go. Did it sound funny? I hope you know there's nobody that lies down there and says, I'm a commissioner of women affairs. You cannot pain me. It's a lie. How did they cry? They wail. They do all sorts of things. They say things. They misbehave. They don't care that they are naked. They almost they do everything. It's crazy. All that might say, cover yourself. Cover. That's humbling, and that humbling is a result of the exaltation with which our first mother exalted herself. Do you understand this? She got humble. If you exalt yourself, you'll be humble. If you humble yourself, you'll be exalted. She exalted herself. She had humbled herself and said, Adam, and he went, yes, dear. Do you think that God didn't want us to know good and evil? That's why he told us not to eat it. If I was Adam, I would say, yes, dear. So let's just eat it now. But God said we shouldn't. Men seem to be better at obeying commands many times. Yes? Is it only the men answer? I want to hear female voices. Okay, women are better at obeying commands? I said commands. I'm not talking about acting gentle. I mean obeying commands, like an order, a command. Stand to attention. Picture a group of females. Picture a group of males. Attention! What are the... What do you think? The men, will the men more quickly stand like that?
Yes.
Or the women? Won't there be a woman that goes... won't there be some woman that turns and looks at the other one? Or tells the man, really? Women are very experimental. They like to experiment and test and check out things. And you tell a man, shh, quiet. You try to tell a woman, quiet. You know? What I was saying is, the chances of the man just holding it are higher. I'm saying the chances. I'm not saying every scenario, but it's just more a group of men talking. You know, I have siblings. I've been on Earth. I didn't just come from another planet. I've been watching. Women are more emotional, and emotions are what often cloud their ability for just cerebral responses. Okay. So, she would desire her husband. She would look up to her husband, but he would dominate her. Some have said that she would try to overawe her husband. He would push back. All of this is to make this point, that the foundation of the problem was because Eve disobeyed. Adam disobeyed. Discipline came, because the wages of sin is death. So there was a death of the place of equality woman had. And I, like I said, God is restoring these things. Do you know? I don't mean just in Christian homes. I mean all over the world. Do you know how much freedom women have come into in the last 100 years? Go further back, 200 years or three. It was really bad. Even in the time when education came. Women are like, how can you waste money educating a woman? That was the thinking. But let me say something many of you don't know now. More women are getting educated than women than men now. Women are, you have this script. See, what's happening is as we are coming towards the end, God is restoring things. We think that all the restoration will come at once. No, He has been restoring. He's been restoring. Women are being restored. That's why it's with time that more and more women are in ministry, having more and more freedom to do God's will. It's happening already. It's been going on gradually. But at this end of the age, because there are many things God wants to restore, according to the scripture, he calls it the time of the restoration of all things. God's plan is to restore everything. That means all this would be taken away. Women will put to bed without any pain. They will not be dominated by their husbands. Many things will happen, but it's a restoration process. He's not going to clap his hands at once and it all changes. It's gradual. That's God's way of restoring things. I was reading an article, which I haven't. It's quite a long article. I just read a small part some weeks ago where, Chimamanda Adichie, Chimamanda, she's a feminist, meaning she's confused, right?
Yes,
she's confused, but you'll be delivered. Let's give it time. Of course, if you're a feminist, you're confused. You must be confused to disagree with God, so you're confused. Like, if you disagree with God, whether you're male or female, you are confused. Feminists disagree with God, so they are confused. That is a very simple logic, right? Yeah. Pay attention, don't start side just. This article I read is by some Nigerian, and it's a female, I believe, in Ireland or somewhere. And the person is talking to Chimamanda responding to her and saying, I have to say something. You talk too much. She's a fellow Nigerian. And she begins to lay out things. I just read a small part. I was very impressed. And she said, if you listen to Chimamanda, which I've barely listened to, I've heard one short speech of hers, that's it. You know, and she began to address different things that she said. She was picking them one by one. I said, look at this. Rubbish. This one is giving statistics. Said that she's talking about how oppressed women are in Nigeria and this, that she's just doing it too. That she was wondering if she has her home life and her, you know, her public face life, the one that makes you popular. And her question was, is it that she doesn't really know? Or is she purposely doing it just, you know, white people really like, I hope you know, if you're like Chimamanda, many, they will give you opportunities to talk everywhere. Don't you know? You think they talk for free? Oh, you think when they come to talk, they just thank you for coming? No, they pay you in dollars, depending on where you're talking. Whether it's UK, they will pay you. Speakers are highly paid. Very highly paid. So, the question, of course, is, she was asking, which one is it? Is it real? Is it for show, for popularity, for gain? Or is it... I didn't finish reading. But one of the things the lady pointed out is what I just finished saying. That there are more women. So all this, your story about how women are sidelined, is simply not true. So why are you saying it? Why are you saying that women are suffering in education when there are more women in any class from secondary school than men? In everywhere. It's not subject to discussion. Like, that's, I think that was the person's anger, because the person sounded very pained. Like, you're saying all these things in foreign countries that I lie. They will think Nigeria is one bush. It's simply not true. And of course, I was immediately on the person's side, because I don't like lies. My enemy is a lie. Don't tell lies. The moment you have to tell a lie to win an argument, your argument is fake. You're lying. Tell the truth. If you can tell the truth and it stands, then it's... So, person pointed out, go to offices. Go to employ people. I was once a head of administration of a company. All that. For every application you get, for every job, there are more women applying for jobs. More women have jobs. Listen, there's a crisis. In fact, if there's anything, it has to be reversed. It has to change. Like that whole thing about protecting women, it's ancient. Now you're having 60, 70% women. 30%, there's a crisis of males. What was the women's state 40 years ago is the male state now. And we are still going on making noise. You see, that's what happens once someone starts going down a road and doesn't look around at the scenery. Stop and think. Nobody's thinking. Barely anybody. People have brothers, sisters, brothers that don't finish school. In the villages, the girls are going to school. The boys are doing tapping palm wine. The problem is, you know, the women should even be more bothered. Because what happens? Your husband is illiterate. Can't read. Who will you marry, girl? Who are you going to marry? Who are you going to marry? 60% of you were in class. 40% guys. You have the job. What do you think happens? You're the one that brings home the bacon. You bring back the money. He is ashamed and embarrassed. Don't you know many men hurt their wives because of that? Don't you know that's why many men mistreat their wives? Do you know when a man doesn't feel threatened that he can take many things? Once he feels threatened as regards his place, if he feels ashamed, it affects him terribly. He feels emasculated, as if he's been castrated, as if he's not a man. Do you understand this? I'm just telling you, women, that's for free. Know it. Even if you have 100 times more money than your husband, if you're wise. In fact, I would suggest... And you might think me old-fashioned, but I'm telling you the truth. I would suggest you run that home as though he's the head, always. The moment there is this thing, that happiness you're looking for, you will never have it. There are men, they'll go and have a relationship outside. You hear this kind of story. You hear them say, In spite of everything his wife does, he's the wife that does. How can? Oh, men are just pigs. Let me tell you why. Because around you, he doesn't feel like a man. You hear some, they will deceive, defraud the wife, defraud, defraud, and then run away with a small bengele, lepa girl like this. Who treats her like, who treats him like he's something. But when madam comes back and says, yes, honey, I'm just tired. You have no idea. You know, you're losing your marriage by installments. You're losing it. Just going. In being happy, you never really be. Even if he comes and does this. Remember my dad talking about, you know, many times because of the feminist movement, there was so much stuff happening in the 80s, 70s, 80s, whole feminist movement. I mean, by the time you know that period, Sangster and all those people that pushed for all sorts of things, many of them, I don't know if they were direct satanists, but definitely they worked for the devil full time. It's not too hard to know if a thing is good or bad. Look at the roots. And when you look at the people that started the thing, that are behind it, that pushed. Ah. And they have succeeded so thoroughly. Go outside this country. They feminized the men. Now the men are reacting. They've started reacting. They feminized men. Look at your boys. Guys, here. It's coming to Nigeria. Wearing trousers that look looking all feminine, you know, acting. I don't know. No, oh, weird. Guys, all the guys under the sound of my voice now, if you have any clue that makes you look irresponsible or feminine, get rid of it. Change. Let me warn you. Forget that you talk about fashion or anything. You've been feminized. I know you don't know this, and I didn't come to talk about this. Maybe someday. I don't know. And I'll make up time to talk to you. It's not a big deal here. It's barely, it's all over. But outside this country where these things are from, it's horrible. It's horrible. It's so bad that, I don't know. It's a crisis. But as usual, it's usual when things get so bad, then people start reacting. But to even cover up, so you have so many homes. In case you don't know, and again, that's where we are going. Even though I want to focus on ministry, but I have to talk about real life too. When the woman rules the house, rules the children, and disregards authority, upturns the world. What was meant to run a certain way, once you upend it, everything will be distorted. Don't you know a major reason for homosexuality is weak men and strong women? Yes. Weak men, strong women. Yes. So the boy grows. Every homosexual man all over the world have said it. Homosexual men all over the world have said it. They are their mothers were strict. Their fathers were. So they grew up admiring their mother. Instead of growing up admiring their father, wanting to be like daddy, they grew up wanting to be like mommy. Now, these are not my opinions. These are things from studies. You won't hear this from unbeliever studies. You hear it from Christian studies. You hear it from counseling sessions where people are talking to their pastors. It's from there. So, pieces of information are from pastors, from leaders in the body of Christ who have sat with people. And the story is the same almost all the time. Apart from a few exceptions, the normal story is this, that they didn't admire their fathers as a man. They admired their mother. She was strong. She took charge. And this is what the devil wanted. And so families, again, in Africa, it's not very as much a deal. But in Western countries, but if you look at Asiatic countries, how much homosexuality you hear about in Asiatic countries compared to Western countries? Comparatively. Why? Because the women in those cultures tend to be more, yes? Subservient. And the men are still the ones that are more assertive. But in Western culture, where if we shout, me and my wife, duh! Yeah! Yeah! You're sleeping on the couch. Literally. Husband and wife, he's not going to sleep in his room. They don't care who bought the bed. Okay, you're sleeping in the parlor, if not the garage. Fact. How? Will she force me? Bush African man. She would dial 911. You sleep in jail. If you don't go and sleep in the... Well, you sleep in prison, though. If she calls 911, my husband, like you say, force me now. My husband, wow, mom, mom, yes, Mr. Listen, you're under arrest for domestic, blah, blah. Off you go. It is made, the society is constructed like that. The society is constructed like that. It's because it has come home to roost. That's where it was going. You know what happens if you guys have to separate? She takes the house. You know how to prevent any of this? Before you marry, sign an agreement. Imagine how horrible that is. You'll be saying things that, there's no love. But these things have made the society that crazy. So they call it a prenuptial. A prenup. And people are signing agreement before they marry. If we divorce, you take, I take, I will. Before the man is married, any man that has money. So you don't split. He had his business, everything. He married the wife. And then if he's worth $320 million, then if we marry, you now divide 150, shut down my business. He knows you just spend it on shopping in the exotic cities of the world. Him, he wants to keep running the business and think of the children and all that. So to avoid that, even though he really loves her and she really loves him, but just to avoid that, now can't you see the marriage is tampered with already before they even marry? You can't see? You have to start writing. In the event of, I will send you off with $10 million and this, which is a big, amazing deal. She's rich for the rest of her life with this and that and that and that. Yeah, just signing that thing is so bad. But what made it so? What made it so is all these things. So I'd like us to understand that, the root of a thing should tell you a lot about it. Haven't you watched TV shows? Don't you watch TV shows? And every time at the table, mother, father, children, for years, for the last 40, 50 years in American, 70s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s. 40 to 50 years. Have you noticed that the fool, the man, is always goofing? The mother and the kids are always pointing out, Dad, he's slow, he's a doofus, he's all confused, he's a mumu, the house. It's not an error, it's strategic, it's destroying families. Again, in your African family, that, thank God, but it's becoming. Because in those societies, they are made like that, daddy doesn't know, daddy's always confused, daddy's always out of touch. His wife is the one that is on point, that is aware, that knows what's happening. The one that says, honey, it's in the left drawer. Honey, now, there are some things that, yes, keeping things in the house, but basic things, you know. The purple Hollywood has pumped this out in cartoons, in movies, and they've reshaped the mind. So men have grown up extremely despised. Extremely despised. You know. But men were supposed to be strong. They were supposed to be leaders in their homes. And the woman was not supposed to put on the man's garments. It wasn't talking about trousers. It was talking about taking his role in Deuteronomy 22. It says a woman should not put on a man's Kelee, K-E-L-E-E, means armor. A man wears armor to go and fight war. Shouldn't put on his armor. It's not supposed to. And a man is not supposed to put on a woman's simlor. That's her garment. It's not the same word. I repeat, it wasn't talking about trousers. There's no mention of trousers in that passage. None. It was talking about roles. Transvestism, cross-dressing, where a man is a drag queen, putting on a woman's clothes, making up and all that, doing all those things. Or a woman dresses like a man, the butch.